whether there can be a war when the adversary is nebulous. But the cause being justifiable, arguably the cause is to try to prevent further terrorist attacks on at least our own people and installations, and arguably that is certainly something that we would like to have achieved.
And statistics say, haven't they been quoting the studies that say this kind of preemptive strike does reduce the incidence of terrorism maybe, what, 3 years down the line or something?
Yeah, that would come
that would be
under
success,
later criteria. Legitimate authority make the decision. I presume the President of the United States made the decision, and he is constitutionally authorized to do so, at least. I don't think one can ever say that all alternatives have been exhausted, but certainly some things have been tried. The purpose, I think, was declared. I was up here by the time it happened, and so I have very little specific information. I have no idea whatsoever either what the benefits will ultimately be or what the actual effects were. No information. Or as to whether it's likely to accomplish the stated aims. But I should think those would be very, very important considerations. If we are examining this as a possibly justifiable act, if we're starting at the beginning and saying no such act is justifiable, then clearly the criteria don't apply because a just war becomes an oxymoron. And seven, it is intended, I think, to be a way to seek a just peace. But whether it would happen or not, I really have no idea. I don't think that even apart from nuclear warfare, there is any way to avoid injury to non-combatants in any military action. And I don't know what the least destructive means would be. Some might argue they would be biological warfare, but this is not within our stated means of...
thank you for walking us through that.
But it would all depend to me on the things of which I have no information provided in Section 7.
Mm-hmm. What if we applied the criteria to the terrorists who did it? Is their cause justifiable?
Well, they haven't exactly stated... And I'm not sure whether we know who they are. If it is the Sheikh that we suspect, then it would seem that death to all Americans is not, in my mind, justifiable.
Is he a legitimate authority?
Not in my mind, but certainly in his own.
Now, yes? Did somebody say yes, he's a legitimate authority?
I said in his mind, he might think
he's. Yeah.
I think so.
Did he exhaust all peaceful alternatives?
No. Who knows? Maybe they did, but we don't know.
Well, we don't know what the objectives specifically were. So. I mean, sometimes an act is linked to release of specific captives or some specific action that might or might not be taken. Here, again, to me, it's quite nebulous other than damaging American Americans, what the specific objective might have been.
I think his comment that he started with is being nebulous. Normally, we would think of working through that criteria when you're talking about dealing with another country.
Yeah.
And in this case, you're dealing with the terrorists who may be associated with a country, but they are not represented by the government or anything else. So you're really dealing with a bunch of outlaws. And so trying to apply all the diplomatic criteria doesn't work. And they don't identify themselves in most cases.
Didn't mean to cut you off, but I kind of wanted to
go back to the legitimate authority making decision. I think it was really problematic for me what Clinton did I know he's a legitimate authority in our country, but what he did not go through the proper channel of the United Nations or anything like that to make a decision. He didn't consult with any other world leaders. And if you think about it from the perspective of another country, for example, if the embassy were a British embassy, and killed 12 British citizens and the rest were African, and then Tony Blair would order a strike on Portland, because that's where the American terrorists came from and blew up half of Portland, how would we react? Well, he's a legitimate British authority, the terrorists were American, he's tracked up to Portland, and then descends a missile strike. How would we react? And our sovereignty being Clinton would not have been find Portland in flames. We're supposed to accept that, but yet we're asking the Sudan, and I mean, the government is dastardly, I must say. But to think if every country operated with that principle, then all of us could be in flames by any leader saying, well, you know, American did that, so I'm going to attack where that American lives, and who cares what the United States says about it? That's not a good way to operate overall, especially a country like the United States that claims to be, you know, abiding by laws, but yet we'll play cowboy when it affects our citizens. But you better not send any missiles
over there. I think there's a here too, and that is that this country would not protect a terrorist if it was demonstrated that there's somebody here who initiated the terrorism. I think they would be quickly under arrest. Where the terrorists hold out in other countries, that's not true. They're in essence protected by those countries.
I don't know, but they couldn't even go through the channels to ask these countries to turn them over. They probably would have said no. I don't even think he had asked the government to turn them over.
No, I don't know either. I'm afraid I don't know the politics of it all.
And obviously asking to arrest is the least less invasive or less destructive response then bomb.
If they don't turn them over, then maybe.
Then you could step to the next step.
They didn't follow any steps.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere along the line, I saw a very perplexing political cartoon that showed Uncle Sam, as it were, standing there with his war guns on, if you will, and facing them all around in a great circle are these rather vicious looking rats, which were labeled terrorism, and the title was, "Are You Sure You Want to Take Us On?" And this is something that's rather sobering, and the fact that having taken them on, it may lead to much further trouble. And terrorism is something that's very difficult to deal with. You know, what do you do with somebody who wants to put a bomb around themselves and walk into a building and blow themselves up and whoever happens to be around? You just simply can't fight that kind of system. Yeah.
You know, my hunch was when you were saying, are they trying to create sympathy? My hunch was, no, they're trying to create fear.
Does anybody have the news about what's happened since, was it 2 days ago? Does anybody know how many people were killed?
No, but the headlines on the boat when we came back in on Sunday, the sheik was saying something like, the battle is not over yet.
Mm-hmm. So. Is he taking credit for this, basically, or is that known?
No, I don't. There was no indication that he was taking credit for the destroying the embassies, but he did admit that those were his places that were bombed. Oh. And so he's going to respond to that insult.
Well, Ben Linden made the flat-out statement that he was taking on the monstrous U.S. or something to this effect. I don't know that, again, but he actually admitted that he sent these folks out. The implication was pretty strong.
You know, when you look at these lists that you have here, and those were all justifiable and they're very good. Can you think of any war that was a just war that went through these? I can't think of one. you know, that's a utopia.
Yeah, probably continuum. Some are more just than others.
Some start with good intentions and get the broad hand.
Gotcha.
Could turn the question around and ask whether the missile attacks were under a just war heading or whether they themselves were an act of terrorism.
Say some more.
Well, it's, I think she made the point very strongly. Who are we to decide? Well, we are the ones that were attacked, although we weren't the ones that suffered the most from the attacks.
That's for sure.
By a long shot.
I feel like the time that I, and many times where a husband and wife come in my office and they report to me that they want to get a divorce because they have been through battling each other for the last 10 years. And who do you think is right, your bastard? What do we do? And I go, man, I should have been informed about this about 10 years ago, and we could have worked out something. This whole thing with terrorism to me is like the person who said that in terms of pulling the plug on the life support, is you ask the question before you put it on, not after you put it on.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is good discussion, but it's so frustrating because I really would rather find a discussion about what is actually happening, why people are terrorists. They are human beings. And many of these terrorists are people who have been victimized and terrorized, and this is their response. They also are just a small fragment of a larger group of people who've chosen not to act that way, like in Palestine. I think these people probably relate somewhat to Palestine, probably, Palestinian, I think. There's a huge number of people in Palestine who are not terrorists, but they have been terrorized, but they choose not to do this. And I don't know who's involved here. I don't know what they're doing. But I have a feeling that they have been terrorized and terrorized and terrorized by someone. And I'm not sure, maybe this response has to be done in this way, I don't know. But I would like to see our country try to be real peacemakers among these, and not take on Israel's side or Palestinian side, but try to be I think that's why they're attacking us, because we have come only on the side of Israel and not for the Palestinian people, who are Christians and Jews and all kind of people. That kind of a question, the prior root question, and it's so far and gone, I don't know what to do about it, but pray about it and be peacemakers. And not just, these people that kill are killers. They are killers. But what made them a killer? What makes a little 10-year-old in New York City or Chicago or someplace a killer? Something made them a killer. I would want to know what made them a killer. That's some thoughts. So I don't know about this stuff. I don't know. It's not.
This is just a springboard to bounce off of.
It's good stuff.
Well, I think the other thing is that we're very quick in the West to sort of vilify people who are racially or ethnically different, and we tend to, I think probably, they may be dastardly deeds going on in Sudan, it's not a great government, part of it is, it's an African country. So we tend to have this kind of attitude that does not act as respectfully. And I think we only have to remember the kind of pain and suffering that's been going on in Northern Ireland to know what Northern Europeans are able to do to one another before we start vilifying Yugoslavia. I mean, before we vilify too quickly Middle Eastern peoples.
There's an example, however, where hopefully, maybe finally, they're going to quit killing each other. But again, a very small minority of knotheads can mess that up very, very quickly. by their acts, but it sounds like finally maybe they're going to settle their terrorist problem, which would certainly be a blessing.
Isn't it considered a great honor, in according to their religious tradition, that to die for your faith, isn't that part of why? I know it is for the Shiites. They don't respect, and I think it's hard for us to understand the hatred against our country. I mean, we're looking at it from the way we feel about ourselves. I think it's considered a great heroic religious gesture to destroy yourself for your faith, to make a statement against the oppressor.
If it's a holy war, and not everything is a holy war, and I frankly don't know the Islamic steps to declaring a holy war.
Mm-hmm. Well, aren't we strong enough? Are we strong enough now to be pacifists? Okay. What can they do to us?
That old saying was saying that we're pacifists is not going to stop terrorists. Mm-hmm. Say, gee, we're nice people. We don't want to bother you. That's not going to stop terrorism. If they, when you really don't understand what they're trying to gain, I guess just declaring yourself a pacifist doesn't seem to help much.
But pacifism isn't being passive either. I mean, it's taking active roles of peacemaking. It's not just like we're nice people. I mean, pacifism involves activity in intervention and in following really what all this stuff comes after, which is getting through all the peaceful alternatives. I mean, there's a lot of work there, but I don't think it's just declaring something.
The pacifist churches, the Mennonites, the Quakers, for instance, have considered it their obligation to go to the site of warfare and to tend the victims from both or all sides, and to encourage and help engage in diplomatic action and so on. And part of pacifism is not passivity but resistance, only it's nonviolent resistance. It might be sit-ins, it might be marches, it might be letter writing, it might be praying, it might be
Greenpeace. The peace part of
Greenpeace. But it is resistance.
The trouble with terrorism, however, is to whom do you talk? Who do you deal with? You have 10 zillion little splinter groups out here and there, all vowing to do this or do that, and to approach a just war is tough going.
That's the same question you have to ask if you're going to enter a war. I mean, are we, you know, I mean, is necessarily striking? I mean, addressing people peacefully is, I mean, you ask yourself the same questions if you're going to address them violently. I mean, it's the same question whether we're being peacemakers or we're being warmongers or whatever. You know, we've got to ask ourselves the same questions. Who are we addressing here?
Could we address the bomber, the Unabomber, peacefully, or do we stop him? Could we address the people that bombed Oklahoma peaceably and discuss with them why they shouldn't do it again, or do we stop them? That's a good question.
I think a better question is, can we stop them peaceably?
Can we?
Well, yesterday.
Or can we stop them from doing it again?
Yesterday, Karen said an interesting thing about the Timothy McVeigh. Did we bomb his house? No, we arrested him and took him to trial.
Because we were able to.
Because we interpreted, the situation as being a crime rather than an act of warfare. Mm-hmm. Now, this is in an international scene, and so the question is, are there effective international laws that we participate in that would help us arrest this guy?
We know the people that bombed the TWA plane that blew up and killed, I don't know, 300 people over Scotland. We know who they are. Mm-hmm. We have been asking their country to return them to us. Libya so far has refused to do so. We've asked them to send them to Scotland, even. They've refused to do that. They're giving them safe harbor. It's okay as long as they don't do it again.
I think it's interesting to note that the UN, the international body, could or shouldn't be in the view of that. It's been totally different. We live in another, you know, we talk about a post-Christian era, but we're also living in a different political era and moving into that era. And there is I think history recorded, there's a vacuum of power in that the United States is the most powerful country and there is no one around close to it, not Russia, not anyone. And we have the tools of war that make us so different, and for people to argue with us, so to speak, they will argue with us through terrorism from this point on. They do not have the power to come at us straight, and that's just the reality of it. So terrorism is going to be the future. And for so many years, it was always offshore. I don't know why it was always offshore. It was always out there, and now it's becoming here. And it is going to be what happens. I don't know what to do about it. And we will find out if the Clinton action is going to have a positive effect and they go, hey, we can't hide anywhere, or it will just create, we can bomb, because you can bomb anybody with anything. I mean, you can do it really easy if you've got a few $1 million for them. So it's going to be this is going to be a way, and it's going to be in Flagstaff, and it's going to be in Chicago, and it's going to be anywhere, and we will have to discover how we want to live, just like the people of Northern Ireland have had to learn how to live. Do they shut their lives down, or do they live? I mean, I don't know. I don't know that answer, but I think we've moved into another era.
We were warned about this some 25 years ago, and we knew then, or we were told then, that we were going to have a new kind of problem, and we did nothing then. We didn't prepare ourselves because we were the greatest country on the earth. We thought no one could do anything to us.
So what should we do now?
Should we put up more metal detectors?
if you play devil's advocate a little bit, you could say, if we had said something to the government, we want those people and you got them in your country and you sent them out to us, they would have immediately moved. And of course then, they wouldn't know where they were. And I don't think they ask the government that they go into the country they go into. I think they are international in scope in their minds. They don't care what boundary they're over, as long as they're over one that can't get snatched too easily. But they obviously don't care about human life, except that they know that we care about it. And if they take human life, they know that'll really get our ire up good. And it did.
Just comes to mind that hijacking, skyjacking, that became a problem, and to a large extent there was international cooperation, and even two adversaries were playing, got hijacked from one and went to the other, where they sent them back. Uh-huh. I mean, there's been at least some of that in hijacking.
But
the hijackings really didn't stop until the last three. The last three hijackings in the United States were all stopped by U.S. Marshals by shooting them. And all of a sudden, when the U.S. Marshals were shooting them, they quit hijacking planes in the United States. That happened in 1975. I don't know that that's the answer, but it's what happened. When it was going through metal detectors, person wants to hijack a plane today, they still can. But is it something that a person wants to do? It's not that we're going to get sent back, it's that the Marshal Service is going to shoot us. And we don't want to get shot.
As far as Libya releasing the terrorists, we already bombed Libya. Yeah. And it doesn't seem to have made them more eager to cooperate.
Sure. Well, they haven't fostered much, as much terrorism as they seem to before, if that's...
That may be.
What kinds of initiatives would we take as individuals, as a faith community, and as a country if we were determined not to live in fear, but to live in hope, or compassion, or just peace for our own parts, insofar as it lies with us, not to live in fear, but to live in hope?
Good question.
That's a great question. That's a question that we're trying to teach our young people right now on the streets, and we're not successful. And I mean, we're successful with 95%, but the other 5% are raising havoc in our society, and I don't know how you create hope in somebody. I mean, some people say, well, if they have lots of adversity when they're a child, then they will be, you know, they will rise above it. And some people say, don't do that. Children will take away their childhood, or they will turn into little terrorists. And you see both ways. I mean, Hitler was terrorized totally in the First World War, I think. Wasn't he down there in India or somewhere? Not in India, but in South America, in South Africa, in Africa.
Who was?
Hitler. Anyway, Hitler was gassed when he was young. And he, there are people who think he never got over that because it was such a terrorist kind of a thing to have happen to you. But it was in war. And
In terms of actions or attitudes, you know, it might be interesting to not just look at the terrorism that we've been seeing recently, but to sort of think in the broader category of senseless violence. Mm-hmm. We don't have to look outside our borders.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
In Oregon, we lived through a terrible senseless violent act in our high school. Those kinds of things seem to be more and more frequent. I suppose part of what I would say is we need to raise our voices on a variety of fronts so that we can model as a people what we would like to see internationally our posture be.
The senseless killing we had in Tacoma this summer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Five kids that were killed in the restaurant tavern, and the nine that were shot, along with the five that were killed. Why? Well, they were just there.
Yeah. They went to the same restaurant that the gang members attended. That was their biggest crime. The state senator for that district, the 29th district in Tacoma, the state, and she goes in that restaurant all the time. She could have been in there and been shot just as easy as the rest of them. She spent a lot of time with that community. So.
And it took the police 2 weeks to even find out who was in there.
Yeah, but they actually did make an effort, I think, a real effort to find out. And they talked without stopping to the community. And that's the first time that the Vietnamese community has been hit with such a hideous thing. And their problems are really different from the mainline us white folks have been around a long time. They're new in this country. Most of the older ones are from the old country, and the newer ones were born here. But some of them, I think in this case, were also born over in Vietnam. But, I mean, shoot, look at Vietnam. You know, I think, I mean, we we don't like our children in this country. All you have to do is go to a place like Finland and look at what they do for their children, and it's just obvious on the ground what they do for their children. There's a park on every other block. There's places for you to bicycle. There's trails. It's just looking at it. And then when you see the kid's in a buggy that gets them up off the ground about that far. They've got something over their head to keep them from the sunshine, something from the rain. I mean, they treat their children beautifully. You can tell. Go, come on over and look at Tacoma and see how well we take care of the kids. But we don't even care about ourselves, I don't think. I mean, it's like, why can't we stop this drug thing? And why can't we not be so alcoholic and gambling crazy? And I mean, look at what the American Indian has done in this country. They've taken advantage of our insaneness with all this gambling, all these things that occupy us that have no meaning. And you try to talk to somebody about something like religion in a way, or in politics, in a way that is not running it down. And you can't even do it because they are not well enough educated. We've got a whole bunch of people right now that don't know that they are the U.S. government. They're citizens of the United States. I can tell you those Vietnamese people know. They know when they're a citizen of the United States. And they know what the government is. They know they vote. But if we're not taking care of the country, I don't know what we're doing. Watching TV or something. But we're not paying attention. I was over there, who their representatives are and who their senators are in their state, do they? But she has a list. But she doesn't have them by what little area you're in. And so unless you know what district you live in, I mean, how can we say to the president, don't do this, when we don't know if they didn't have a whole bunch of U.S. spies running around over there and figuring out, maybe they bombed right on top of those people that did that dastardous deed. And I don't know. We really do have troubles. There's a book, something about the addicted. When society
becomes an addict.
Yeah, when society becomes an addict.
I just saw it on the shelf over in the far end of, in the coffee, mm-hmm. Creek mm-hmm. Coffee House, or Copper Creek Coffee House.
Yeah, we were handed that book when one of our kids got into the drug scene, and as an adult.
If the America was a human body, how healthy would it be?
Not very. You know, you read your magazines and get a page and says, oh yeah, it shows this man and woman and they're in this deep embrace and, you know, take Viagra. And then you flip the page over and all this fine print. You start reading that stuff, man, it gives you the creeps. People drop dead taking Viagra. You're not supposed to take that stuff unless you're, unless you're healthy as a horse, and you probably don't have the problem, you know.
Why do so many people, foreigners, desire to live in this country?
In this country, you know, that's really interesting because everybody in the world, everywhere you go, and especially in China, the people in China, the guy on the street, they love America. They all want to be here.
Why?
We're free. They actually think we're freer than we are. They think that each individual can do whatever we want, and they really don't know how hard we work. That's the one thing we talk about, is how hard the American people actually work. There's a lot of people putting in 10-hour days in this country, and they do it for 40 years. And they don't think they have to work that hard in other countries because they see our riches. I mean, we give them all this information on the TV. That's how they learn about us. And then they get jealous as all get out when they see that all this stuff exists and they don't have any chance at any of it.
But isn't that, I'm not from America, mm-hmm. and in my perspective, isn't that
you guys' big claim. This is the land of the free. This is the land of opportunity. This is, I mean, that's what you hear when you hear about the United States. This is the place where somebody can go from
rags
to being the president of your country.
And you can, but you work your butt off to do it.
But isn't that what you guys hold most dear? I mean, isn't that part of the reason why in Canada we can't have handguns? We can't even have rifles now without going through this. You got a firearm safety, firearm acquisition. You've got to register it with your local RCMP department. Then you have to. I mean, And I don't know, but I've on the news. It seems like Americans would never give up their handguns because that's part of their freedom. Which I don't know if I understand, but that's what you hear about
Americans. There are millions of handguns in this country, and they're cranking out more every day.
Yeah, but that's the.
You don't admire that.
Well, no, that's been advertised about the states, is that this is the home of the free.
Well, freedom has what I guess price. Doesn't get sent over to China and other places that we run this country, and as good as it is how good we are. I mean, we deserve what we get. When we put people in office that are crooks, it's our fault. We don't have to put crooks in. We can look into their background, find out what kind of people they are. Once in a while we make a mistake, but...
Excuse me, I can just interject. It's great. I just want to... We cut off the forum at 9:30 sharp, so we have about 8 minutes or so.
Yeah, maybe we should talk about just war some more.
How much of this problem, whether it's terrorism or declared war or crime on the street, has to do with justice? How do you define that?
With justice?
What's the phrase if you want? Peace, work for justice. Mm-hmm. Some variation. We don't know that these people we call terrorists. we may think it's senseless violence. It's got plenty of sense to them, all that. There's something lacking in the lives of people who commit crimes or acts like that. They may not be crimes. I don't know. But it seems to me that if a person has a situation in their life that leaves them at peace, they will be peaceful. Some may not, but I would guess that would apply to most. Something is in Osama bin Laden's life that leaves him unsettled. I don't know what that is. Same thing with the kid on the street. What can we do to get justice for them?
I don't know, what keeps us from minute to minute to not do acts of violence, or what causes us to do acts of peace?
What makes us be peaceable in this room?
Right.
We're all well fed, we know we're going to sleep tonight.
Right.
We all have homes.
And we're all treating each other like cousins.
And what about the kids on the street? What do they have? What do they have not have?
But how peaceful would we in this room be if someone walked in the door right now with a gun and decided to shoot you? And did.
Yeah.
And shot you and said, well, who do I shoot next?
Yeah, we wouldn't be peaceful.
And at some point, we will stop them.
Yep.
At some point, I don't want my wife shot. I will not allow her to be shot. I don't want you to be shot. At some point, we have to make a decision.
Yeah.
What do we do? How much force do we use to stop the person that walks in the door tonight with a gun to shoot us? Do we put up a sign and we say, no guns allowed? Good. That keeps the honest people honest.
Well, we kind of have a sign in this country that says no terrorists allowed. I mean, don't we?
kind of have a sign up that says that. And I don't know about you, but I was mighty relieved when I found out it was our own that blew up the building in Oklahoma City. I was really glad it wasn't some Arab terrorist. Because I just don't want to think that all terrorism comes from somewhere else. I don't want to think it comes from here either, but on the other hand, you know, I mean, does anybody know why that building was blown up? It doesn't make any sense to me. Anything that's said about it doesn't make any sense. So I don't know what to do. Try to raise your kids to be peaceable people. I think I'm going to throw out my TV.
I think his question about what would we do if our lives were threatened should also apply. What do we do for the kid on the street that lives are threatened every day, the black kids that don't think they're going to live past 21 anyway? So
yes,
why? Okay. Why are we sitting here so peaceful and not doing something about this?
Maybe that's a good, good way to end this forum.
Yeah.
Just to recap, just the things I heard, it sounds like we quickly drifted away from these criteria. Other than we try to define a situation where they may apply, hopefully a nuclear strike, that we'd have time to use these criteria, they would be used. We kind of talk about how terrorism is quite different than war, suggesting that we have to use a different criteria. To ask ourselves who actually are terrorists, and maybe we have to think about them as individuals, and why do people act so evilly in this world with such evil intent and actions. The conversation quickly moved to our own country and our culture, and are we creating some of this tension in people, it sounded like. And then there were some very good comments about what we might do. Pray and be peacemakers. Focus on creating hope in our society. And finally, seeking peace through justice and seeking justice for others. With that, thanks. Enjoyable.